Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Hey, welcome into the Hardline Friday edition. TJ Moe, John Hadley here with you. Welcome into the show. Thank you for hanging out. Friday is our football show. This is what we do. We do not acknowledge that there are any other sports, although John will eventually wander into politics and abortion and all of the pertinent things into the world. But we try to stick to football on this show. This is our Friday football show. Once again, thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to dive into both college and the NFL today. As of, I think it was Tuesday, the NFL, Bovada, I should say, set their week one NFL betting odds. We also will dig into the NFL over-unders. This is largely going to be a gambling show today. And also the over-unders of some specific college teams as well. Not all of them, just the interesting, pertinent ones. And these odds are all courtesy of Bovada.ag, I think. So there you go. .lv, John. .lv. You should have known that.
You're already making my face hurt.
The gambling connoisseur that you are. How long have you been gambling, John?
Since I was 12.
12 years old. What were you gambling on?
That my babysitter wasn't going to give me a sexual disease. I won the bet, thank God.
That time. All right, so let's dive into a couple things. John, what would you like to do first? You want to go over-unders or the weak ones? I think we should go over-unders.
However you want to play it.
All
I'm
right.
Scared.
Well, you should be.
You just hit me.
And there's also the MVP awards, the odds on that. So we'll dive into all this stuff today. First, let's hit the NFL over-unders and what are some of the more interesting ones.
No, let's do college first since that's what I have pulled up.
All right, let's do college. And as we speak, I am emailing you, John.
I already got your
the man of 90 emails. Yes, I'm emailing you the over-unders for the NFL.
Okay, good.
You are one of the few people that I can send an email to at one of your 12, and it still never gets checked. So, as we speak here, you now are in possession of the NFL over-unders, and we will start with college first, nonetheless.
I may be expanding that, too, by the way, because apparently there's a Pixel 3 coming out.
Really?
These Google Pixel phones are terrific, but go ahead.
Well, is that going to put you up to 5, or are you going to replace one of your other 4?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. Well, there's one. There's the other.
There you go. I got TJ's email. All right, let's hit it.
All right. Up first here, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, this is interesting because depending on where you look, this is either 10.5 or 11. Bovada has it set at 11 wins. And, you know, we're now what? Did you look this up earlier? Is this the 11th or 12th year of Nick Saban's tenure?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't. It was either 2006 or 2007.
Yeah. So Nick Saban, as we know, has been dominating the sport for quite some time. Back in 2003, he won a national title with LSU. In 2009, he won his first national title with Alabama. That was my freshman year. In fact, he probably shouldn't have won that. If you remember, he won because Colt McCoy, about 5 minutes into the game, his arm fell off. And that was not super useful to them winning. So it was 2007, John. 2000 to 2004, he was at LSU. He was only in Miami for 2 years, 2005 and 6. In 2007, ironically enough, Les Miles' national championship year at LSU, he started at Alabama. So he does not lose very often, as you can imagine. He now, I think, has 5 national titles.
Well, that's the thing is, if you look at it, this is his 12th season at Alabama. But he will have won a national title at 5 in 5 of his 11 seasons, almost half the time he's winning a national championship.
That is crazy.
When you throw in the loss, who beat them? Was it Ohio State? In the national title game.
Was that the national title game? Or was
no,
that
because
the
Ohio
Final
State
Four?
Went on to beat Oregon. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Clemson beat them in the national championship.
They did.
Game.
That's right.
So if you throw that means that he's played for the national championship in a literal sense. He's played for the national championships in 6 of his previous 11 seasons, which means in more than half his seasons, he's playing for the national championship.
Isn't that crazy?
It's incredible. I mean, it truly, like him or not, like Alabama or not, how you can't respect them and appreciate what they've accomplished. Wow.
So from a betting perspective, it's always interesting. Yes, you want to look at the team at hand. But in college football, probably significantly more outside of Bill Belichick than pro football, you look at the coach. And Nick Saban, here's what he's done since 2008 at Alabama. 2007, his first year there. He did not have a great season. I think they were, what, 7-8?
In fact, they lost to Louisiana Monroe.
That's right. And that was home. His, they ran through us like blank through a tin can.
Yeah.
That was that rant. Yes. So, 2008, though, they went 12-2. 2009, they had 14 wins, went 14-0, national championship. I will just give you the wins here. 2010, they had 10. 2011, they had 12. 13, 11, 12, 14, 14, and 13. Okay? Their over-under here is set at 11. Now, of course, that's out of 12 because they're not going to count the that this is just the regular season over-under. But they're not losing many games. Bottom line is they have only, since that time period, one time lost more than two games. 2010, they lost three. But they lose one or two games. So that over-under of 10.5 is more based on history than it is the current construction of the team.
Well, I think history and their schedule. Yeah. Because I don't think, in fact, I've seen two people that I respect say this could be Nick Saban's best team. No, no. This might be Nick Saban's best offense, potentially. Mm-hmm. Not his best team, because this defense, one, doesn't have the depth, nor the top-tier talent that others have. Now, that's a strict comparison between Alabama versus Alabama.
Right.
Not the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly right.
Which is the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I find Alabama more beatable this year than in the past? Probably so, because I still contend, despite just an incredible array of big names offensively, that any way you want to cut the mustard, they've won with defense.
They have.
And having noted that, and with this defense, I think, being a little bit more vulnerable, you know, but you look at the schedule. Louisville, Texas A&M, at LSU, Mississippi State, and Auburn. Those are five teams that I think may have the skill level. Not necessarily the team, but at least the athleticism, the skill level it takes to play with Alabama. I guess they could lose two regular season games.
Yeah.
But am I willing to bet it? No.
I think the only two teams that are real threats to them, in all honesty, Mississippi State and Auburn, and that's it. So that is where you're looking at that 10.5
yeah,
number.
And this comes back though to the one thing that you can never understand when I talk about gambling is I would not bet
against them,
Alabama.
But you won't bet
I'm not going to bet against Alabama because I don't clearly see two games that I think they're going to lose.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to bet on them because I think that this year's team might be a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah. And significantly more vulnerable, actually, after August 18th when Christopher Allen tore his ACL. And so he's out for the year, and that's coming on the heels of Terrell Lewis, who was a projected starter. He tore his ACL in July.
I mean,
so,
right out of the box, you're talking about 67% of your linebackers, of which that entire linebacking core has been depleted twice over from the previous 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean,
yes. Last year they had major injuries, too, and they locked out.
Exactly.
That is why they struggled last year to stop that Clemson team, because they didn't have anybody up the middle.
Exactly.
No. So I on that one with 11, I think that's a push. I think they are going to lose a game. I think it's a push. But when you're talking college football, you cannot start with anybody outside of Alabama. So here is one of the more interesting ones that I think I am going under on this one. And that is Florida, a 4-win Florida team from last year who picked up, I think he's probably, would you say Dan Mullen's a top 15 head coach in the country?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. We're on the same page there. I think he's pushing top 10, and by the end of his tenure at Florida will be a top 10 coach. When you can do what he did at Mississippi State, that is high-level stuff. So they're saying they were injured to some degree last year and also had all those suspensions, as you remember. Florida won four games. They got a lot of their guys back this year. Still don't have a quarterback. Felipe Franks right now is maybe the leader in the clubhouse, but their over-under at Florida is 8. Okay, so you look at Florida's schedule. Before you look at the schedule, how much do you think Dan Mullen is worth? Just forget the schedule. You replace Jim McElwain with Dan Mullen. Forget who's on the schedule. How many wins is that worth?
It's hard for me to answer that question. I mean, maybe a win this year.
Okay, see, I was going to go
term,
two, yeah.
A couple wins.
Yeah,
year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because the ironic thing is I don't know that Dan Mullen's and I might even make Mullen the top 10 coach, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is I don't think Dan Mullen's worth will show up in Gainesville this year, but it will in Starksville, because I'm telling you, Mississippi State's going to upset a couple teams and win 10 games, because that is they have some terrific skill position talent on offense, and their front seven on defense. Mississippi State's going to be a beast this year, man. And one game that I'm really looking forward to is Mississippi State early in the season travels to Kansas State. You're talking about two old school teams. That's going to be old school smash mouth football. You want to see the way that the boys played the games back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s?
John, so you can put there's this wonderful setting called Vibrate.
No.
You know all about vibrations.
No.
By the way, the two guys that are going to dominate the SEC, which is why I said when I said Alabama could lose to Mississippi State, is because of a guy named Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons. Those two guys, I mean, to the point where Dan Mullen's like, you know, I don't really mind leaving Mississippi State, but I sure wish I could have brought that D-line with me.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to torment offenses.
But here's the problem with I know that number, but I can't place it. Anyhow, here's the problem with it. Again, when you look at these things, everybody wants to go based on talent, but schedule just makes a difference. If you look at this Florida schedule, you could make a case that they could win 9 games. Because they have gimmies against Idaho and Charleston Southern.
Yep.
They play Kentucky and Colorado State at home. They play Missouri and South Carolina at home.
And it's early in the season for the Colorado State Kentucky
right
there too.
You know, so I mean, you're talking. There's 6 guaranteed wins, in my mind, because with all due respect to Missouri, by then Florida under Mullen will have they play November 3rd. That will have been a developed team, and I would have to give the edge to Florida right now against Missouri. Now, at Tennessee, at Mississippi State, at home against LSU, at Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Florida State. So the question is, are you going to bank on Florida losing more than 4 of those 6 games? Because Florida State, to me, again, is a good team, but not a great team this year.
Yeah, I mean, Willie Taggart has generally made progress in his first year, but that was a really bad team. Now, they do have their quarterback back. The quarterback that got hurt, what's his name, Francois?
Yeah. DeAndre Francois.
Yes.
And James Blackman, by no means, is a bad quarterback.
No, but DeAndre Francois was a guy, I mean, their season was over when Alabama hurt him in the second or third quarter. Yeah. So it was pretty quick there. They're going to lose to Florida State. I don't think it's a great team. I think Willie Taggart's a pretty good coach, not a great coach, but it's Florida State talent against what I think is not the greatest Florida talent and new head coach down there as well. So I think they lose to them. I think they lose to South Carolina. I think they get pummeled by Georgia. I mean, I think that's a 40-point game. The LSU one's interesting to me. That one, I think they could win, but I don't think it's a guarantee either way. That's kind of a toss-up. And I think they lose to Mississippi State. So I think those are 4 losses in my book right there. So you're saying in order to hit the over or to even push, you got to win the 8 others. And the swing game for me, I'm going the opposite with you. I think Missouri is the one that's developed enough to beat them, and I push them down to 7 games. That's why I'm hitting the under here.
So up to this point, I have proven to be useless as a screen door in a submarine because I'm going push with Florida also. I can't bet that they're going to lose 5 games, but I'm not going to bet against them losing 5 games.
Okay. We're gonna stick a lot of SEC here, but I do want to hit one interesting one before we go on in the SEC, because this one I just can't get out of my head. And we talked about this a little bit off the air, John. You will be a good description here. Baylor won 1 game last year under Matt Rhule, a new head coach. I think he was at Temple previously. And pretty good coach. But they won one game last year. Their over-under this year is 6. And I get it. They got a transfer. Everybody will remember, if they paid any attention to college football, Jalen Hurd, who has dropped a bunch of weight. He's about 6'4". I think he's still around 210, 215 pounds. And he has moved to the tight end receiver hybrid position there. So they have more weapons. I mean, he's a 5-star game-changing weapon if he can actually make the switch from running back to receiver, as well as an athlete like that should be able to. But to 6 games, whew, that is scary to me. But I also, when you go back and look at what they did last year, that was a team going through all the bowl ban and everything that they had that had nothing to play for, that fought like crazy. So your take on the over-under for the Baylor Bears at 6 even.
Well, I think ultimately Baylor will be an improved football team. Mm-hmm. But looking at the schedule, this much I know. They're not beating TCU, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Texas, or Oklahoma. So that leaves you 7 games. Now, of the teams I didn't mention, they have Duke, which probably man for man is a better football team. Kansas State, which is probably man for man.
That's certainly a better
football team. Mm-hmm. And they have to play at Iowa State. So,
and that's no slump. You saw them last year under Dan Campbell. Yeah.
So unless they win 2 of the 3 of those, that's a push or an under. To tell you the truth, I think it's a very, very safe bet to go under, because maximum I can conjure in this incredible cranium, much of which was mapped out, planned, and x-rayed by IBM before they made their first computer. That's how complex my brain is.
Okay.
Is that there are those who have the belief, and I'm not saying that it's true, but some think that my brain directly led to the first IBM computer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
NASA borrowed it
for a brief period of time, leaving me in a suspended state, but that's another story for another day. But the fact of the matter is, I am very confident that is a bet to win or push, because I don't see Baylor under any circumstance winning 7 games. And if you're going to Vegas, you're making a wager somewhere, I'm just telling you that betting the under 6 on Baylor is a very shrewd move. Now, I find it even more interesting because you don't have to give up much juice, because according to Bovada, it's only -125.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that you have to look at when you're betting these things, is because even when the numbers may skew one way or another, you have to look, because sometimes you wind up putting up bigger odds than what you think.
Yeah, so this is why it matters where you go to. We're using Bovada right now, but you can go to 5Dimes. You can go to betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, when I was looking at Kansas, to go under of 3, you had to bet like 2.25.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make it. There's no value in that bet.
No.
You know?
No. And you're right. I mean,
and when something's even, right? If it is a perfectly placed number, and there's even money on both sides, it's -110 each way. That, for people to understand, that you're giving 10% to.
Correct. Well, yeah. I mean, when you see a bet that's listed as even on the money line, it truly is dollar for dollar. It's just an even wager.
Mm.
But if you're betting the line, or you're betting an over and under, then it is -110 either way.
Right.
And that's just the norm, and it goes up from there. So if before they'll move a line, they'll move the dollar line.
Correct. Right.
You know, so when a team is a 7-point favorite, you would walk up to a window and you'd say, I want X team -7 points. It'd be 110 on either side. If you bet the team to win or to lose -7 points, you would bet 110. Before they would move that to 7.5, say, chances are suddenly it would be, if you bet the underdog, you would probably be even. And if you bet the favorite, you'd be -120.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you'd be given 7 points -120. If you took the 7 points, you'd be even. Mm-hmm. So they'll fiddle with that money line before they actually hit the regular line.
Right.
And hopefully change. I made some sense there.
No, that doesn't make sense. So they, as people know, they have to adjust the number based on the money coming in. That's the general idea. And instead of moving the number from 6 to 6.5, they'll just make you pay a little bit more to get that over in the first place.
Correct.
So there you go. Okay. We, my opinion on Baylor here, last year they lost to Liberty. They lost to UTSA. I mean, they up and down the board here, they were brutal. And there's a reason why, you know, they won one game last year. Now, the thing about their six this year, it is interesting. But as you pointed out, there's just not six wins on the schedule. And the Big 12, as much as we make fun of it, they're going into the season with four ranked teams. So, and they're all going to be pretty good. TCU is going to be stout, as they generally always are under Gary Patterson. West Virginia has a guy at quarterback, Will Grier, who may win the Heisman, depending on how they go. Texas is a top 25 team this year. Vegas has their over-under set at 8.5. Oklahoma may make it back to the college football playoff under Riley. They got a bunch of dudes. So, their one true win is probably Kansas. They play ACU and UTSA as well. I also would take the under on that on six wins. But it is kind of scary that Vegas, you know, added five wins. You're going up from one, I get it, but they didn't add five wins to Kansas. So they're seeing some improvement there for sure. Okay, the next one I want to hit is LSU. LSU's over-under is 7. Last year, as we saw, that was not a good football team. However, they still played people tough. In the Citrus Bowl, they only lost by 4 points to Notre Dame. Notre Dame was a fringe top 10 team last year. They actually, as we said, Texas A&M, well, not a great team last year either. Kevin Sumlin was fired. They blew them out, 45-21. They took care of business against the teams that they needed to, largely. I mean, they beat Mississippi. They beat Tennessee. That was a team that obviously was not great. So you dive into what they are this year. I think they're going to start 1-2. And I think there's a serious disservice to Ed Orgeron, who, had they gotten a couple less votes, wouldn't have started in the top 25. I think this is a team that's not a top 25. As Vegas points out, they're probably worth somewhere between 6 and 8 wins. They set it at 7 there. And because they started in the top 25, and then you got to go play Miami in your first game, then you're going to beat Southeast Louisiana, but then you're going to lose to Auburn in your third game. You're going to start out 1-2. You may lose to Mississippi, and then it's a toss-up probably against Florida. I mean, you feasibly could start 2-4 here, and Ed Orgeron would be fired and out the door by midseason. So I'm taking the under on this 7 pretty easily.
Well, I've got a different take than you, but we get to the same place because I think LSU ranking 25th in the preseason poll already is bad enough for LSU fans.
No.
Because this is a fan base that believes they should be playing for national championships and ranking in the top 10, which for a good part of time they did under Les Miles and Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
So I think already you have a fan base that is loyal and appreciative of Orgeron because he's one of their own. He's a Cajun boy. He's one of their own. They like him. They respect him. But there are fewer and fewer people wanting him as their head football coach. So, one, you start out at 25. You were literally just a few votes away from not even being in the top 25, which would have been a horrendous situation for him to not only not be ranked, but then start off the season tough. Miami, that's a game they could win. At Auburn, don't see it.
No.
You know, at Florida, a toughie. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I could see them 1-2. I could see them 2-1. I could easily see them 3-3. I could see them
2-4.
At 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any way you cut it, that's going into a wicked, wicked stretch of Georgia, Mississippi State, and Alabama. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Yeah,
they'll be lucky to win one of those three games. And no matter what their record was going into it, end of story. Orgeron finished out the season, but there is no way he comes back.
Take the under, baby.
I would take the under again because I think it's a safe win to push bet. Meaning I can see them, I can see them because they're at what, seven?
Yep.
Over seven. You know, I mean, I can see them winning. Well, they're going to beat Rice. They're going to beat Louisiana Tech, and they're going to beat Southeastern Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not remotely being facetious when I say I can see them maybe losing as many as seven of those other nine games.
Oh yeah.
So
oh,
I could see them losing. I could see them losing as many as seven games, probably in that 6-6, 7-5 range, which means you're betting to win in 2/3 of those predictions. 7-7 or 7-5, they're pushing. So I can't imagine where they're going to get eight wins because I just don't think they're going to beat Auburn at Auburn. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia. I don't think they're going to beat Alabama.
They're not beating Mississippi State.
You know, so
now and they're probably not beating Miami unless we think Miami is so vastly overrated to start the year.
Well, and A&M should be a vastly improved team. As should Arkansas, truth be told.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Arkansas, how Chad Morris does that quickly because his record never showed much. I understand he took over an absolute freaking dumpster fire from June Jones.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, what do you have, seven wins last year at SMU?
Seven wins at SMU is nothing to sneeze at
Considering
the issues that he overcame. But, you know, regardless, it's at Arkansas. Arkansas will have refined their game by then. I mean, and you're sitting there 5-6 wins going into A&M on the road. Well, what do you got to play for?
Yeah. So take the under there. We got to go to break. We will be back shortly to give you more bets to make you a lot of money, of course. TJ Moe, John Hadley here with you on our Friday football show, gambling edition. Today, this is The Hardline.
Welcome back to The Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Hey, welcome back to The Hardline, 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com. I am TJ Moe here with John Hadley on our Friday football show. We are doing some gambling. John, your hand is raised.
I just want to interrupt you before you get back to your hosting duties here on 590. Talking football. Shut up, Balzer. There's a couple things I wanted to clean up. I think arguably the best bet on the board, based on the Bovada lines, might very well be the under with Nebraska.
6.5 on that one.
6.5. Yeah. I can't imagine Nebraska having a winning season.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way I see Nebraska winning seven games. And when it's 6.5, the only way you get beat is if Nebraska wins seven games. But you take a ganders. Take a ganders at that Nebraska schedule. Not only do they play the big three from the Big Ten on the road, being Northwestern, Iowa, and Wisconsin. So they play their three main competitors all on the road, but then they draw Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan as their three opponents from the East.
Brutal.
And they play two of those three games on the road.
Yep.
And then you throw in two competitive non-conference games. They play Troy and who's their other opposition? Troy and someone else on a non-conference schedule. And I'm just telling you, I mean, I don't see seven wins by any means. I can't. Let me tell you something. If Scott Frost wins seven games at Nebraska this year, seven or more games, he will be the first Nebraska coach to win eight games in quite some time and be considered a hero if he wins seven, eight games this year.
Yeah.
Look at that. You got the schedule up?
I can.
You're too damn lazy to do it. I said, TJ, look at that schedule, and you sat there. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do nothing because you're one of these millennial ball players that will not listen to the coach.
I'm a retired ball player.
You know everything.
Akron.
So they win the Akron game, but no, it's who's the other Akron?
Colorado.
Yeah. So I mean, Colorado and Troy aren't pushovers.
No.
Colorado's no gimme.
No, although there are over-unders. I don't even think it's on here.
Read off the road games that Nebraska has to play this year.
All right. But actually, the list that I'm looking at here does not tell me the – okay, so there you go. Michigan, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Ohio State, Iowa.
I mean, I don't think they'll win any of those games.
Yeah, I think that, I think that's right there.
I mean, so that's five. Right there is five. So that leaves seven games on the schedule. Are they gonna go undefeated the rest of the games?
Yeah. So I mean, they're gonna start out probably 3-0. Akron, Colorado, and Troy. Troy, you could easily 2-1, but you should win. Probably, you should definitely win two of those somehow. Whether it's Troy, or Colorado, because you're gonna beat Akron. Then you lose to Michigan. You're at home versus Purdue, but that is not a gimme. Purdue, mm-hmm. as Mizzou fans watched last year, Jeff Brohm, and it was interesting how he did it. They won largely on the back end of their season with defense. Jeff Brohm is not a defensive coach. So if they can play that kind of defense, and he's a guy that can develop that offense, we watched it at Western Kentucky. He can frickin' sling it. You probably made a fortune at betting the over on every Western Kentucky game for two years.
And I'm not sure, again, why people never picked up on that. Seriously.
It was them and Bowling Green. Those two, Western Kentucky and Bowling Green, if you took the over on those two. Who's the coach? He's at Syracuse now.
Dino Babers.
Yes. Those two guys.
Say it with me.
Dino Babers, baby. Those two guys hit the frickin' over every year. Every game for, what
Look
was
at
that?
You,
all
you
of 2000.
Perverted gambler. Who knew that you were such a little perverted gambler?
I know things. And like you said, okay, so are they going to beat Minnesota at home? Probably. Although, I wouldn't bet against PJ Fleck.
No, I mean.
Significantly.
Find me seven wins on Nebraska's schedule.
No, it doesn't exist. No.
That's what I'm saying.
They have one, two. They have two guarantees. Illinois is going to be horrible. Lovie Smith is going to be done by, if he's not done by midseason, he's not going to make it to a fourth year. Akron is the other one.
Where's that Illinois game at?
Illinois is at home.
Yeah, we'll see. Because you'll hear that game right here on 590. You're home for the Fighting Illini, who will shock the Illini-hating TJ this year. Shock him.
Okay.
Shock them.
They got to play
Shock
Wisconsin away. So there's a guaranteed loss. Ohio State, they're playing away. Michigan, they're playing away. What a freaking joke. So,
see, that's what I'm saying is where do you see the seven wins?
And you're higher on Northwestern than I am. So that we'll see because I think that's.
Well, I'm normally higher than you are anyhow.
Okay. So there you go on that. I would say, I don't know if this is my best bet, but this is one that I just keep looking at here. And that is West Virginia, the over-under of seven. And the reason I've taken the over on this is because of Will Grier alone. Now, I know that's a little bit tough to do, but if any team loses their quarterback, they're probably going to hit the under, generally, unless you're 2014 Ohio State with 19 first-round quarterbacks on your roster. So if you have a guy as good as Will Grier has been, they're going to beat Tennessee in the opener, and I think they're going to win by a wide margin there. Tennessee, Vegas thinks they're horrible this year. That's a 5.5 win team.
They have a much tougher other non-conference
Youngstown State.
P5 guy, P5 team.
Kansas State, yes. But Youngstown
no,
State.
No. Who do they play after Youngstown?
NC State. Now, NC State was supposed to be a lot better last year than they actually were. And they're not projected to be as good this year. You think NC State's going to be pretty good this year? A lot of people have that.
Says they're going to be a winning team this year.
Yeah, winning team doesn't make you. I mean, West Virginia, while I understand rankings and writers don't tell you the story, that's a top 17 team to start the year here.
I'm just telling you, it's not an easy.
No, you're right.
It's not an easy. Now, look at their November. Look at West Virginia's November.
Mm-hmm.
Take a gander.
Texas is tough. TCU's tough. Oklahoma State, not as tough this year, but always tough to some degree. And Oklahoma. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have to get to their seven before they get there, and I think they can pull out one of those. I don't think Texas. Look, Tom Herman may be a decent coach.
But in order for you to win, they have to win eight games.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me.
That's why I said they have to get to their seven
West Virginia
first.
Is going
to
be their no worse than 7-1 heading into November.
Yeah, I think they beat Tennessee. I think they beat Youngstown State. I think they beat Texas Tech, who I think this year needs to find a quarterback, and they just aren't going to have it. You know they beat Kansas, so there's your four. Then I think they probably split between Kansas State and NC State to get to five. I think they beat Baylor. That gets them six. Iowa State, I think, is a little bit of a toss-up, and you're close. And then of the last four, to push, you just got to get one, and I think you will.
To push.
I don't think they're going to be. I know. You just got to get one, though. I think that it's a toss-up against TCU. I think they probably beat Texas, and I think they probably beat Oklahoma State. The only guaranteed loss, in my opinion, on the schedule is Oklahoma. That's the guaranteed loss. I think it's probable that they will lose one of Texas, TCU, Kansas State. Probable. You can throw NC State in there, too. One or two of those. Getting to eight is not going to be difficult on the schedule. Would you take the under, or you think it's just going to be a push?
No, that's one I because I
which side would you err on? Because if you think it's going to be a push,
If I had to, I would go over.
Okay.
If I had to.
Yeah.
I can see five losses. I can see five losses.
Yeah. But this, I'm sort of going with your...
I can certainly see more than seven wins.
Right. And I'm sort of going with your Baylor theory here. Yeah. Like, at worst, I think this is a schedule that you push on.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that would be a fair assessment.
So, there you go. Your best bet is Nebraska. I don't know if West Virginia is my best bet, but that's one I would actually... And I think I'm going to lay some money down on. Okay. Hey, let's transition to some...
And by the by, you're only by the minus by. 105
to
betting Nebraska under.
Oh, wow.
Betting Nebraska under, you're minus 105, so you actually have better odds.
Yeah. So that means the money right now disagrees with you.
Correct. Yeah. But it definitely disagrees with you, because to bet West Virginia at 7, you'd have to lay 2-1. They're minus 200 right now over seven games.
No, so it agrees with me.
No. My point is, when you go to Vegas and you bet these things, like I said before, they're not all 110, 110. If you walked up to a window in Vegas based on these Bovada odds and you said, I want to lay 100 to win West Virginia going over 7, you'd have to lay 200 to win 100.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So the money agrees with me.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's just the return's not as good.
Exactly.
So most of the people are.
It's a higher risk.
Yes. So West Virginia. So the reason I was saying the money agrees with me, most people are thinking what I'm thinking. Whereas I agree with you strongly on Nebraska, and the money's going the other way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
West Virginia, based on that 200 number, is probably very close to being pushed up to 7.5.
Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah. And then there's no winners. So if you want to get it, go ahead and get it now. So there you go. Hey, let's hit our Missouri Tigers real quick, and then we will transition to a little bit of NFL stuff, perhaps, if we have time. Otherwise, we will save that for next week. John, last year, what was their over-under last year? Do you remember? I think it was right around 6.
No, I think it was lesser. I think it may have been 4.5, 5.
Last year, really?
5, 5.5.
Okay, so they hit the over. Then you were wrong about everything.
No.
You were right about the Kentucky game.
No, you're right. Maybe it was 6.
Think it was 6 and they pushed.
Yeah.
I thought that's what it was. This year is 6.5. They're coming off a...
Wait, hold on. Back up. What did you say right before that?
You're wrong about everything.
No, you said I was right about...
Nothing.
What?
I don't know.
You just said I was right about something.
No, you weren't. They're 6.5, which means no winners, no fun. To take the over, that's where the money is. Minus 155. If you want to hit the under of 6.5, you think this is barely a bowl team or less, plus 125 will get you that buy. The reason I'm taking the over is because of that Florida game that I told you. I mean, you look at Missouri's schedule, and there, as we've talked about in the past year, we just discussed Purdue on Nebraska's schedule. There is no freaking gimme. Jeff Brohm can coach. So you this year too have to go there, and that is not a whole lot of fun. Last year they pounded your face in. That was early on in the year. It would have been a different game had you played them in the second half, but they did. And so you got to go to West Lafayette this year, but you're going to win against UT Martin. You're going to win against Wyoming. South Carolina is a total toss-up. I think South Carolina is a pretty good team this year. They have two of the top receivers in next year's NFL draft. And Debo Samuel is the big one, who broke his leg week four last year and didn't play the rest of the season. And Jake Bentley with all of that. Now, the reason, too, I think is a toss-up is because I think I was very high on Jake Bentley going into last year, and then I watched him play against Mizzou. I watched him play against everybody else throughout the year. I understand Debo went down, but that shouldn't just make you an average quarterback, and I think it largely did. So I'm not as big of a believer in Jake Bentley as a lot of other people. So I think that's a toss-up. You're going to lose to Alabama. You probably have a 10 to 15% chance of beating Georgia. Like, I think you get 1 out of 10. It's at home. I think you could probably get 2 out of 10. If you played Georgia 10 times at home, I think you win twice. So maybe there's a 20% chance that you beat Georgia there, but it's not high. Memphis is no gimme, but I think this year you have more talent and you're better coached than Kentucky. I think you beat Florida. I think you beat Vanderbilt.
Who won the Missouri-Kentucky game last year?
The referees, when they allowed...
Who won the Missouri-Kentucky
when they allowed... When Jamon Moore made that catch for the guy to take the ball and throw it across the field.
Missouri,
so I'm calling it a draw last year. They're going to beat Florida.
Kentucky won, and that's what I was right about. You let it slip and refused to say it because I was 100%.
I think this year...
And I guaranteed that before the season.
...sets up very similar to last year, interestingly. because their losses are going to be up front. I think they start out 2-0. Purdue's a toss-up. You probably lose to Georgia. You feasibly could start 2-4 or 3-3. I think that's actually likely that you start 3-3. But you could rattle off fairly easily. Nobody would be surprised if you rattled off 6 in a row after that. Memphis, I think, like, if you're looking at just game by game, because when we start talking holistically, you're like, if you think Mizzou's going to get 9 wins this year, it freaks people out. But go game by game in the last 6. Memphis, would you be surprised if they won? No, not really, but you wouldn't be surprised if they lost. So say they win that one, nobody's freaking out. Same thing with Kentucky. Same thing with Florida this year trying to recover. Same thing with Vanderbilt. Same thing with Tennessee, who's not going to be any good this year. Same thing with the recovering Arkansas. It is feasible that you rattle off 6 in a row and nobody's surprised by it.
Based on what they did last year, I would agree with you. Yep. That's pretty much what they did last year.
Yeah,
I know this much. They're not beating Georgia. They're not beating Alabama. Mm-hmm. I don't see them winning at South Carolina. I don't see them winning at Florida. So that leaves me 8 games. I go back to our very discussion on the phone. Comes down to Purdue. Comes down to Purdue for me.
So you think they're going to drop another one of those 8 as well? Which one?
Another one of those 8.
What's 6.5?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I'm just saying, though, to get to the point where it just takes one loss to swing you either way.
Right. So you gave me four losses.
I don't – 4 games I just don't see him winning, leaving you 8. And I'm telling you that
– So my question was
– As a swing game with them going 7-1 or better –
Gotcha. So you're leaving error for another one. You don't know which one that would be. And then Purdue's your swing game.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you think they win or they don't?
I don't know. I honestly, because I vastly underestimated Drew Locke last year.
You did. That's one thing. As right as you were about Kentucky, which is largely cheating by the referees, you were that wrong about Drew Locke.
But, again, I mean,
Purdue's over-under, by the way, is 5 wins. So Vegas doesn't have a whole lot. Now they're in the Big Ten. As you know, I don't know. I have not studied their schedule strongly, but they are not projected to be a great team this year.
Well, again, this is for gambling purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, being a six-win team in the Big Ten is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, the Big Ten has, what, 5 of the top 12 teams in the preseason poll, of which I don't think
that's true. They're in the West, though.
It doesn't matter.
Well, it does a little bit when you don't have to play those
who
guys.
They have to play. No.
Yeah, they're playing. You're right. They're playing Ohio State, Michigan.
Okay.
State, Michigan State.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
And they have Wisconsin. Wisconsin. I'm going with Michigan, but I wouldn't be remotely surprised if Wisconsin wins.
Wisconsin took a big hit when they lost that that kid. What was it? Monday of this week it came out that their Cephas, the big receiver, was suspended.
Yeah,
you know. So that was because he was that one guy. They always seem to come up with, like, every 5 years. Wisconsin. It seems ever since I started covering the game in '79 for the Sporting News. There always seems to be a guy going all the way back to the days of Al Toon, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, every 5 years, Wisconsin, this kid was a big-time potential game breaker. That's a big, big loss for Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, we got to get going here in just a second, but Wisconsin, I wouldn't be remotely surprised, because that run game, Jonathan Taylor, the guy's name, is that right?
Yeah.
He might win the Heisman this year, too. Purdue doesn't have to leave West Lafayette until the last week of September on the 29th when they play Nebraska. Northwestern, you think Northwestern's better than I do, so that could be a loss. They're going to beat Eastern Michigan. I think they're going to lose to Mizzou, but that's closer to a toss. So I wonder what that line will be. I bet Purdue's actually –
would be a slight favorite.
Yeah, plus one.
Very slight favorite.
Boston College was horrible last year.
Boston College has – I'm going to tell you something, though. They have some boys coming back. They started picking it up last year.
So what was it? Well, no, we're going back 3 years now, where Boston College had the best defense in the country and still only won like 4 or 5 games. That, now, defense was their calling card even last year, and they were horrible. That's why they were so bad. So the defense has to get it together.
What? Let me tell you something right now. I guarantees you. Boston College is a 6 or better win team this year. I guarantees you.
Okay. Well, I don't think their over-unders on here, so let's check that out, and that can be your guarantee.
I told you what my best bet is.
That can be your second best bet.
There is no such thing. If you have a best bet.
I think it's. No, it's not telling you.
See, I'm not one of these people who come out and say that I was abused and then find out that I paid off someone who I abused, not to say anything about it. I'm not one of these people who vote for Hillary Clinton and talk about how great and how much integrity as she has when she's married to someone who changed the Oval Office into the Oral Office.
I knew that we would go into politics.
I'm not this guy.
Boston College is over under 5.5.
Mm-hmm. Take a ganders.
We got to go. So, thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We're going to do some more. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We will talk to you sometime pretty soon here. Have a good weekend. Hang out.
I hope your people stop posting a bunch of photos. They're annoying the hell out of me.
Okay, well, you can turn the notifications off. If you want to join my TJ Mo Mizzou group, I put a lot of thought into that name, and there it is. Hey, TJ Mo, John Hadley here with you. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody.
You're
going to
be up at game one for Mizzou this year?
I will be at Hot Shots, baby, doing a watch party. You guys should all come with me. All right. Take it easy, everybody. Have a good weekend. See you later.